Hey, I'm Adam Carolla, and that's my buddy.
I'm Ray Oldhofer.
That's Ray Oldhofer. And you like what you hear? Do you enjoy the show?
Yeah, I do.
Many do. And we have a little pirate ship here, and the way it works is you share it with a friend. So if you like this show, turn a buddy onto it. Turn a schoolmate, turn a coworker, and or lover onto the show, and thank you in advance.
Allison Rosen. Hey everyone, it's me, Allison, from Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. On Monday, I sat down with David Wilde, and he dropped over 45 names. I'm not kidding. And also, we had a heartfelt talk about all sorts of stuff, and he shared some details about his family that he's never talked about before publicly. And then on Thursday, I was joined by Matt, Chris, Gary, and Jenna, and we learned all about Matt's trip to Color Me Mine, and I made everyone help me figure out what wedding cake flavor to get, because I can't figure it out! Sorry for yelling. Subscribe to Allison Rosen as Your New Best Friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you.
Allison's your new best friend.
This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls. Home improvement tips straight from the ace man's lips to those in need. They cover it all, A to Z, roof to basement and in between. Ray's on the ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the Porcelain Punisher with his old buddy Ray. It's Ace on the House.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thank you so much for listening, man. That's Ray. Went down the wrong pipe. Thank you so much
for tuning into
the program. Thank you so much for supporting the program. AceOnTheRoof.com. You click through the PayPal button. We get Ray a house, everybody. Come on now.
Yeah.
Let's not let him see 51 without a home, man. It's getting right up there in the midway. Whoa, no, wait a minute. Pass that. All right. Again, thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for $5 a month. Honestly, a lot of the other shows we do, let's be honest, me and Dr. Drew dispensing advice, maybe it helps, maybe it doesn't. Hard to put a price on it. But home improvement, man. I mean, we're saving you serious buku bucks here. We're going to give you advice just in today's show that could potentially save you thousands of dollars. $5 a month. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, so, when did you start turning gray? Just asking. I'm getting up in age. By the way, I have like gray eyebrow hair occasionally now. Freaks me out.
I saw gray pube.
You got a gray pube? Really?
A pube.
Did you pluck it?
Don't remember. I'm pretty light down there. It is one of these things. It's a weird thing. Like the hair on my legs is as black as it was as when I was in high school. But who would give a shit about that? You know, why the hair on your head? My hair. My temples started going about early. I don't know, 42, 43, something like that. But didn't really bleed into the rest of my hair too much until. You know, it's starting to make its way. The beard went gray a couple years ago. That's the thing that's weird. Guys' beards. I see dudes with black eyebrows, red hair, and a gray beard.
Or a white beard. Really
or a white
weird,
beard.
Yeah.
Or dudes with dark hair and a red beard. Or dudes with blonde hair and a red beard. When did the beard? What's up with the beard? Like, why did that change colors from what's going on? Literally, I'll see guys with blonde hair, and it just runs right into their beard. Their sideburn runs into their beard, and then it just turns red. What do you got some fucking color factory going on in your head? Like, whatever hair's coming out of you, shouldn't your eyebrows are the color of your hair. Your hair's the color of your ass hair. What's up with the beard? Why is that so dramatically different for so many dudes?
I 2 years ago, I went big time gray. Just boom, overnight.
Yeah.
But it's not really noticeable on me.
No, well, you have light hair.
Yeah. But I look in the mirror and I go like, wow, what the fuck? And then I get the eyebrow hair that's that 20 gauge thing.
Yeah.
But I thought of an idea.
Mm.
Hair Sharpie.
Mm. I think the Armenian ladies already beat you to that.
Oh, they just use a Sharpie though.
Right. Oh, this one has hair.
No.
They just use a Sharpie.
Yeah, they just use a Sharpie, but you get a hair Sharpie.
Yeah.
That's a great invention.
The chicks that basically shave their eyebrows off. So my daughter was, I was wrestling with her last night. She was like, your eyebrows are so fat. They're so thick. Said with a certain degree of disgust. Now I know she'll probably never be with a dude with thick eyebrows. But either way, the brow has not stopped. No gray in the brow.
You haven't got one yet?
No, the beard basically just gone. As a matter of fact, if I do a TV show and I'm sporting the beard, I'll get a little black into it and just rub it in.
The mascara kind of thing?
Yeah, just so it doesn't just fade out.
Right.
Just look like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Well, God rest his soul.
God rest his soul. All right.
His beard's probably still growing.
Yeah, it's interesting. We should check that out. Let's exhume him and find out. Ray, you'll be happy to know that we're working on the warehouse, getting things organized. You know, it's a never-ending thing with me, but as I was walking out, I walked past.
Hold on. What did Gary do?
I don't know who does what, but I was walking out of the tool section, and as I was walking out of the tool section where we're getting everything organized, I just slid one of those big 5-gallon crate container things, and in it was like thinner and some like cutting oil and some kerosene, all sort of like maybe 6-8 gallons just sort of packed into this plastic container, open top container. But then on the top of all of them was just one exterior light bulb just rolling around. And then on top of that was the one of the extension the pressure washer.
Oh, okay.
And I just
one
thought,
extensions?
What is this one light bulb doing rolling around on the top of this? And what is this, why is the pressure washer thing, extender stick mixed in with this? And then I looked to my right and I saw a little plastic container. And inside the little plastic container, it had the filament light bulb things, the long light bulb, the cartridge kind. Not the kind you'd get at Maxima style. No. The halogen kind.
Ooh.
Yeah. Remember the work lights that had that long filament?
You were never supposed to touch it with your bare hands.
Looked like half a pixie stick.
Yeah. What are those things? Long suppository. That's what they look like.
That's right. My gay porn name. There's four of them in a little container just alone. But on top of that, a tube of like Neosporin. Like, what you put on a cut. And I just thought, why would the bulbs be in with this? And then I said, yes, they're the same shape. And that's the number one, that's how your brain works when you shut it off. See, here's the thing, right? You have to shut your brain off when you do mindless work because you'll go insane.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Shut down?
No, I'm good.
No, what I'm saying is when you see a dude and you just see a dude scraping a roof and he's up on the roof for 9 hours just scraping it.
Right.
No radio's playing, no earbuds in, nothing's going on. He's just alone. He's just scraping the roof.
Yeah, you got to get in that mode.
Your brain has to go into sleep mode like on a computer. Now, if you're sitting around and you're you're up on that roof and you're Dave Chappelle or you're Jimmy Kimmel, you're going insane. Because you're like, I can't do this repetitive motion for 9 hours. I need earbuds. I need a book on cassette. I need a radio blare. And I need another dude up here talking to me. I need something. But if you're not, your brain kind of goes to sleep and you just do the repetitive thing. Now, how do you wake that person up when it's time to wake them up? Like you go, okay, well, now you're off the roof. And I need you down here organizing. Now it's time to wake up. They can't go into wake-up mode.
Right. Not getting there. So it's just like they're scraping the roof, organizing.
That's their mode. People romanticize building construction. You know, oh, you're outside, your shirt's off. It's awesome.
Who the hell romanticizes construction? Really?
When I used to do it, I'd tell people, oh, you know, I build. And they'd be like, oh, man, I'm trapped inside this cubicle all day. You got it good. And I'm like, you got a chair. You got air conditioning. You got a coffee pot up the way. You have filtered water. I'm drinking out of a hose. I'm shitting into basically a phone booth. I'm fucking working out here. And they'd have it like it was like that scene from Top Gun, playing with the boys, like a bunch of good-looking guys greased up, their shirts off, playing volleyball in slow motion in jeans. Not that. It was just a bunch of Mexicans and you and misery, right?
For
the most part.
That's like 90%.
Right. But I try to explain to
your
people.
Your reprieve is when you get to pet the family dog.
Yeah, every once in a while the dog comes around. But you think of the gig of all you're doing is hanging drywall all day, like at a casino, endless corridors, just all. And the next day, just more drywall. Or you're one of those dudes, you ever drive along your freeway and you see they're building those block barrier walls, they have the sound walls, and they just have those stacks and stacks of cement blocks just set up, and about every 100 feet, there's another stack, and they're up on a riser. There's dudes, all they do is put those things in place. Whip up the mortar, spread the mortar on, stack it, spread the mortar. I mean, literally like you working at a factory that made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Like, all you do is spread on the peanut butter, squirt on the jelly, stack, just flap it together, push it down the conveyor belt, and all you do is stand there and do that all day, except for you don't stand there inside the factory. You're on the roof. The sun's beating you up, or it's cold, whatever it is. That's all you do. Of course, you have to shut your brain off to do that. Otherwise, you go insane. This is what I never knew with my amazing comedic instrument. I call it an instrument. It's no different than an instrument.
All right.
I would sit around doing this fucking earthquake work with everyone while we were just demoing out some, you know, lath and plaster wall, cleaning up with a snow shovel and putting in a trash can, dragging it down the hall, or, you know, stripping the roof, or, you know, just putting that continuous strap on and, you know, demoing
anchoring,
out.
God knows what, 6x6 plates, all thread.
When we put the place back together, here was my job. After we demoed out the bathrooms and the kitchens, I'd put them back together. But I had about a 3-month stint where all I was doing was, we demoed out the bathrooms. We weren't hip with the hardy back or the cement board or anything back then. It was old school. So what we would do is demo out the bathroom in these units that were singles. Or they weren't one bedrooms. You'd walk in, the Murphy bed was there.
Yeah.
There was one room.
By the way, last time you've seen a Murphy bed.
Yeah, this was... Open the door to the unit. You're in it. It's open the door. I remember it very well. You open the door, and straight ahead about 12 feet is a window. To the right is the bathroom. To the left is the kitchen. You just go through. You're in it. There's one room. You sleep in that room. They all smelled weird. They all had old carpet. They all had old people who didn't make any money and were crazy.
They all smelled like a combo of urine and mildew.
Mm-mm.
It was nice.
No, urine, mildew, and lard.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they all cooked. They cooked, and they cooked old school, man. There were no gluten-free shit going on in there. Nobody was heading to the Whole Foods. They cooked. If they made up some bacon, that bacon got poured into a coffee can, and that shit got used for everything else they fried
up. Spread that on a little bit of bread later on.
Spread on some bread, cook it up with some eggs, like, and they didn't have any ventilation going on in there, and it was all fucking stinky carpet. So it was that smell. And by the way, just a funky smell like the mildew and the urine is bad, but it's just bad. But when you start, when you drizzle some bacon in, your nose gets confused.
Yeah.
Like you're
yeah.
like, something smells.
I think I might like this.
I might like some of this. I think I'm hungry.
You do get confused.
Yeah, because it smells lardy and bacony in there.
And it's hot.
So,
no ventilation.
What I used to do, my job at the end, or toward the end of my earthquake career, was to go in and go into the bathrooms and put the bathrooms back together. Now, we'd torn out all the tile in the bathroom. The tub was, cast iron tub was left in place. We would have to shear wall, put up plywood behind the tile. So we'd have to tear out the tile and the floating, the lath and the float, you know, the mortar, because it was put up in the 20s or the 30s.
Yeah, it was like 2.5 inches thick.
Yeah, it was a nice mess. Tear all that shit out, then strip it all down, strip all the studs down to the bare studs, and then shear wall behind it, you know,
right.
Plumbing walls. Then I would show up, I think, no, I don't think they would green board over it. I think we'd just paper over it. Then I'd show up with the diamond lath or the broken metal lath, and I'd tack that up. And then I'd mix up a thing of mortar, and I'd start floating. When it was time to put it back together, I'd start floating the shit, and I'd float around the plumbing wall, and I'd float around the other wall, and then I'd go down.
The whole enclosure.
Yeah, and then I'd go get the tile that matched as best we could, because there'd still be some of the tile would be up from one of the back wall or something that we
right.
didn't have to shear wall. So it's like different shade of blue. And I would sit there. What I would do is I'd take a like a plank. I had like my 1x8 plank, and I'd set it across the tub top so I could sit in the tub. I could sit in the tub like I made a little bench, put my feet down, face the plumbing wall where the spigot was there. And then I'd have my tub of mortar and my hawk, and I'd, you know, put on my first coat and work it with the sponge trowel a little. Then the next day I'd come in and just start putting the tiles on and buttering up the tiles. But I just sat in that person's bathroom alone for 8 hours every day, 9 hours every day. And then I'd just come back the next day and sit down on the foot, sit back down on my little tub perch and just be putting my tiles in. Now, if I had a, you know, 26-year-old Jimmy Kimmel standing behind me and we were talking the whole time, I would have been fine. Or if I was like listening to Nick Offerman's book on my earbuds, I would have been fine. But we didn't have any of that. I just sat there. And then I was like, I'm going out of my mind. Why am I going so crazy? And then I would talk to other guys, and they'd go, sweet gig, huh? And I'd go, no, it's fucking sucks. And they'd be like, what do you mean, man? $19.55 an hour, getting good cash for this.
Now you're getting prevailing wage.
Prevailing wage.
Yeah.
And I was like,
like that was the end all be all.
Yeah, but I'm just fucking driving you insane just sitting in this. I'm just sitting in a tub all day in this horrible unit, by the way, with the crazy old person in their bathroom. You know, every, you know, aren't you 4 hours, I got to come in and shit it up. That was a nice break for me. Just staring at the clock, taking lunch a little earlier every day. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's 10:55. Let's eat, man. Come on. Let's go down and eat. We'd walk down a place on Wilshire and Western. Just like, it was always like, where are we going to eat? Where are we going to eat?
Yeah, a bunch of bones in it.
Where are we going to eat? Where are we going to eat? But I sat there and I was going insane. And I thought, why am I going insane? How come no one else is going insane? Well, I realized my mind wasn't wired for sitting in some old coot's bathtub all day. It was wired for something else, which is fine. Unfortunately, in that process, you have to figure that out somewhere around 15, not when you're 26, wondering why you're going insane.
Or when you're 50.
Or when you're 50. That's right. Somebody needs to get hold of you, or you need to get hold of you.
Somebody.
Yeah. Somebody tweeted me yesterday and said, actually, it's happened a few times. I go, Ace, when did you realize you were funny? And you know what my answer is? 26 years before anyone else did. I never had.
Funny. Come on.
Yeah. How'd that go, Ray?
You're funny. Please shut up. Please.
Yeah. Now I'd start talking. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. We get it. We get it. All right.
Say it again.
Yes. Yeah. That's how every conversation went with every.
True. Right. Come on. You had support.
Right.
What?
Let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
Did you or anyone you know in our circle ever utter this phrase? You should write that down.
We couldn't write. What are you talking about?
All right. That's a fair assessment. That's a fair answer.
But you were right. You were jotting stuff down in your scribbly, writing.
I was.
Even when we were kids, it wasn't legible.
I was.
You had a few key words. It was like hieroglyphic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had characters when you first started, and then you became yourself, and look where you are now.
That's right.
Yeah.
I did. That's my point.
No, you did. But you also had a little support. You had plenty of support. People loved you.
All right. People
supported you.
Well, we've done this before.
What, we're going to do more math?
No.
Oh.
On a 1 to 10 rating.
That's math.
1 to 10.
Yeah.
0 being 0, 10 being the highest, the most support.
10 being the most support.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead.
All right. What would you give my mom?
That's not fair.
It's not fair?
Yeah, because you didn't go to negatives.
Oh, okay.
No, mom support, as far as in what genre?
Comedy.
Oh, no. You didn't get much support from that, no.
Would you give her one?
I'd give her two.
Two?
Two's low. Two is low.
But it's something. All right.
Because she was there.
She was born, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Get a two for that.
All right, so they're people I'd never met before that get twos as well?
Sure.
Okay. Mama gets a two. Daddy?
Daddy gets a four.
Four?
Dad gets a three then.
Okay, three. Why does he get a three?
Because dad was, vaudevillian. Dad was on the road. Dad, there's some similarities there between you and
but
dad.
But on the supportometer.
Oh. All right, I'm going three. Three, four.
Three?
Yeah.
On the supportometer.
Yeah. This is only supportometer.
This just a supportometer.
Okay, my mom gets like a seven on supportometer for you.
Your mom scores dramatically higher than my parents' combined score.
Well, my mom went to all your shows.
All right. Now, our group of friends, just the circle.
All right, so about four or five of us, what was the supportometer for you? I'd say, it was double-edged because we browbeat you and get you on stuff, but we also supported and loved you, so I'm going to give it a seven.
On the comedy supportometer.
All right, what do you want it to be?
No, I'm not, I'm just asking.
I'm just saying it's about a seven.
On the conversations of, you should write that down, or what are you wasting your time doing construction for? You should
focusing on. First of all, everybody, listen, Ace, you have a selective memory, and I know you want to remember the ill mm-hmm. parts, mm-hmm. but every time you performed or anything you did, you had a group of friends that were there.
That's true.
Regardless.
That's true.
And some of them were flaily, and you fucking wrote it out, and you had chin high, and some of them were fantastic. But you always had a group, no matter what, would show up.
That's true.
Be it at the Ice House, be it in Hollywood, be it wherever the hell you were, Acme Theater or wherever you were. So.
All right.
Nine. We get a fucking nine.
Nine?
Yeah.
No, nine.
Yeah. No, nine. This is my supportometer, not yours.
You'd have to say write that down one time to get a nine.
I'm sure I've said, listen, I've been jotting down notes for 90 years. What good has it done me? I still have them all. I just showed you a box of them yesterday. And you said, what the fuck is this?
You draw miniature swastikas over and over again.
No, I do
right?
that occasionally. Look, do I have a fucking, no, what's this? Is a note right here? Do you see a swastika on there?
No swastika.
Let me check. No, all right, so we're good.
All right.
So I don't know. Nine.
All right.
Write down nine.
All right. Write down nine. All right.
Your dad gets a five now, too.
No, he doesn't get a five.
Yes, he does.
Ever see him at any of those shows?
Huh?
He doesn't get a five.
Okay.
All right. All right. Let's take some phone calls, shall we? Or see some, get some video questions, tweets, and all that stuff.
Let's start with a video question, if you don't mind.
All right.
Cool. We got a great video question from a guy named Kevin, and you can always send us your video questions at aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go.
Hi, Evan Ray. 25-year-old homeowner in the D.C. metro area.
Whoa, what a winner.
I'm having some issues with the wet basement. As we can see, in this front yard, I have a garden that has about a foot of clearance between the siding and the soil. On the side here, I have even less to work with. During the wet months, water tends to stand in this area, and the soil becomes very wet due to its high clay content. Mm-hmm. Over on the right-hand side here, we have a pretty good grade into the backyard, and I feel that if I was able to add some more soil, I could get the front yard, or improve the front yard grade as well. Mm. Looking in the basement, we can see that there are some signs of water already starting to come in near the base of the foundation.
Yeah.
I'm not sure really what my options are. Should I first work on getting the grade better? Should I put some French drains? Do I need to dig a big trench and start waterproofing the outside of the cinder block foundation? I'm really kind of at a loss of what is the best approach while being fiscally responsible. Mm-hmm. If you give me any advice, I'd greatly appreciate it. Thanks.
I was just looking at the outside of the house and where the water had a nice thing going. It had his drain pipe scupper coming down or his drain pipe coming down, but he had the hose on it that kicked it away.
By the way, not underground on top of the lawn. Nice look.
Yeah, it's not a good look, but either way, it's kicking the water away. I talked to my buddy Skip, who I'm doing this contractor show with, and he works on the, the Long Island area, and he does a lot of basement, water, whatever. And I said, what's the number one thing? You and I know the answer, which is like, as long as there's water hanging out, it's getting in.
Yeah.
It's just getting in. It's just, I just had a torch down membrane put on this roof, and it leaks. Because water sits. And you go, well, it's a membrane now, and it's torched down. So it's like a kiddie pool or something. It's like, no. If it sits and gathers, it finds a way, no matter how good or how nice or how new. So he said, I said, so what goes on with this, you know, basement business? He said, first thing, grading. I got a guy in there. He's a magician with a backhoe, and he gets the water going away
from the place.
So that's
big time.
The number one thing is get the water going away. All the, you know, mopping and all the barriers and all the proofing you do, it's just not going to stand up if the water ain't moving away.
Yeah.
So now you got, now what do you do? Well, you go, well, I don't want to excavate down 9 feet and take out all the earth and whatever. He seemed to have the right idea. Just figure out where the water's coming from, where it's landing, where it's going, and get it away. If you can do things like something as simple as putting up a drain up on the top. I don't mean a drain, but gutter on the top. Have that go into a leader and have that come down and kick out 5 feet away. You know,
right.
Just try to stop it from saturating.
So it doesn't sit on the side of the house. And he has expansion soil, too, so that retains water for a long time, that clay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's got another soaking effect. Like, once it does get really wet, it's pretty tough to
dry. Now, the French drain's the one you bury?
Yeah. But he could also, if I were, because I saw it only at the corner mm-hmm. where the basement was located, I'd dig down a foot or two and then get some, you know, what's that stuff called? The black one, not the tar. I'm forgetting now. But I'd waterproof it like 2 feet or so.
So just do a compromise.
Yeah. And then get it, like you said, drain it away.
Should you put the French drain in then, as long as you're digging up
if
stuff?
If you got a little dug up, why not? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it can't hurt.
I believe you mean freedom drain?
Freedom drain. That's right.
That's changed too.
Freedom fries, freedom doors, freedom drains. Speaking of freedom, blinds galore. These guys are patriots. Mm-hmm. Let's not mess around. Let's not go to the store, deal with the guy at the weird vest. I'm on my break. Who? Oh, no, that's not.
You gotta get the other guy.
You gotta get the other guy. The other chick.
We'll be back in 2 hours.
Yeah. Blinds Galore, amazing customer service, design advice, window experts. And by the way, it's all completely free. They give you samples and they give you expertise. Mm-hmm. We get all our blinds from Blinds Galore. These guys, no problems. You measure it out, send it in, design it. Boom. Boom. Mm-hmm. They've been doing it online for 15 years. They know their stuff. They've worked out the bugs. They give amazing deals. They guarantee if you don't like what you order for any reason, they'll give you something else. Mm-hmm. They will take care of you. Blinds Galore really does have blinds galore. That's why they're called Blinds Galore. Go to blindsgalore.com. That is blindsgalore.com. Let them know I sent you. That's blindsgalore.com. gmail.com. All right. More questions here? I'll tell you what. Let's tease one. I don't know if we have if we got something to tease, but we got just a tip, maybe. We got another got someone on the phone. Let's see.
I understand I'm being like vetted for just a tip now.
You have to be vetted for the tip now.
Really?
Vet the tip.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you did a weird thing to me the other day too. I was standing right next to you before you walked in the studio, and mm-hmm. then Matt was also standing next to you. You turned to Matt and told him to get me in the studio when I was standing right next to you. Mm. It was bizarre.
Were you talking? Was
no.
you talking? I didn't hear that.
Huh?
All right, quick break. Right back after this.
Hi, everybody. This is Pat O'Brien. Either your grandfather, your father, or you grew up with me doing sports for the last 30 years, plus all the entertainment and pop culture things that I did, all those red carpets for you out there. Now, we're putting all that in a podcast, The Pat O'Brien Show. Go to iTunes and find it. Go to thepatobrienshow.com. We're here. We work for you on The Pat O'Brien Show. Thanks.
All right, back with the show. Thank you once again for tuning in and supporting and PayPaling and all that good stuff. And coming out, got a new book, President Me. The America That Lives in My Head. I think it's called The America That Is in My Head. Actually thinking about it. You can pre-order that on Amazon if you like. It helps out. We'll get to the New York Times bestseller list. Mm-hmm. All right.
How long of a read is that? Pamphlet or book? It's a book, right?
It'll be about... Yeah, it's a pamphlet, right?
Did you write it down? Just checking.
It's about... I think it's about 330 pages, as
That's
I recall.
Awesome.
The contract says you got to write 75,000 words. I think this is closer to 100,000 words.
Wow.
I think the last book was like 330 or something like that. The one before was like 270-something. Maybe this will be about 300. I don't know. Right? We're just editing it down. Well, we're kind of just done editing it down, and then we're moving forward.
When's the debut? Debut.
It's coming out early May, but again, pre-order on Amazon. The thing that's always funny is all the book world is in the middle of Manhattan, and they're super liberal, and they're all chicks. So then I write something about the Kennedys, and they're like, "Yeah, you may want to take that out." And I'm like, no. And they're like, you don't want to make fun. I mean, I go to a lot of parties where, and it's like, listen, I'm not you. I don't live in Manhattan. I'm not super liberal. And I don't give a fuck what people think about me and my opinions toward the Kennedys. And it's funny because you can say anything you want about Bush or any Reagan or anything you want. You say something about Obama, they'll circle it and go, yeah, you don't mean that, do you? You don't want to get into trouble with that one, do you? Like, you can go, I think of Reagan as somewhere between Stalin and Hitler, and I hope he burns in hell. And they'll be like, yeah, that's good. And then you say something about Obama's doing a shitty job running the country. Like, yeah, you probably didn't mean that, did you? And it's like...
You really get called on weird shit like that?
Well, the only shit they have problems with magically will be shit that's...
Affects them. Yeah,
they'll be like, you say black families here, you better just write minorities. And we're like, no, I don't mean minorities. Well, by the way, Chinese are minorities.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about them. They're doing all right. I'm talking about black families. Probably just write minority there. I'm like, no.
You should write minority black.
Well, there's a new thing going on where you have to just say minorities, except for... Three quarters of the minorities are kicking our ass, are kicking Whitey's ass. So it's a little confusing when you go, there's a lot of at-risk minority children out there. Like, well, there's Japanese and Chinese, and there's folks from Nigeria that are kicking the shit out of us in math and science, and India.
But the Latin population is kicking our ass as far as taking over California.
Well, they're a majority, but
now
they're,
they are. Yeah.
But no. You don't get it, Ray. Let me straighten you out from the Manhattan base of the book publishing world. minority. Let me explain. Eastern Indian, Nigerian, Chinese, those aren't minorities. Now, there's less of them. And if you looked up the definition of minority, it would mean a group that has a lesser number in it. But they're no longer minorities. The school to prison pipeline is sucking in black and Hispanic students, but it's not sucking in other lesser minorities. You understand what I'm saying?
No.
No, me neither. So why would you say the minorities are not doing well in math when half of the minorities are kicking our ass in math? It's confusing, is it not? You guys, you're into science, right? You have all the global warming scientists working 24/7, right? And the third hand smokers. You're into science, are you not? Why don't you go ahead and apply some of the science you're using in the other areas to all areas, and then you'd have something called clarity. So when I say black and Hispanic, I don't mean minorities, because my kids who are white are getting their ass kicked by the Chinese folks at their school who are a greater minority than the black or Hispanics. So it's confusing by definition. Or does just minority now just mean people that aren't doing well? Because that's the way you guys have designed it, and that's sort of insulting and confusing.
I figured out what you need now, though.
Mm.
Tiger mom.
Tiger mom.
You need to buy you a tiger mom.
They take care of business, boy. All right, Ray, should we do a little just the tip?
Sure. Should I clear it up first? Are you cool? We'll just go for it. I got it.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. All right. Gentlemen. Grab your hardwood. It's time for Just the Tip.
Just the Tip.
Adam.
Mm.
So, replacing a window.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually the glass of the window. Casement window, steel casement, wood casement, double hung, whatever you have. If it's wood, steel, you got to replace the window. First of all, getting the window out.
Single glazed.
Yeah, glazed window, or it could be wood. Yeah, single glazed. So how you remove it is what? Heat gun.
You want to get rid of the glazing. If you have an old school glazed window with the putty.
Right. It's
the
putty. It's going to get the heat gun.
Put the heat gun on it. Start scraping.
Start scraping it out.
Right.
Now, when you're putting the new window in, you know you go about an eighth short of whatever the opening is.
All the way around.
Right.
Because the thing is that thing could be racked a little bit.
Usually not square.
And what people don't realize is you just measure. You go, okay, I'm going to order a new piece of glass. So you measure at the top. Oh, 32 and a quarter. And then you measure the height. Oh, that's 28 and a quarter. And then you go measure it. And then you go get the glass and it doesn't fit.
Right.
Because the thing's racked a little bit. It's not going to be perfectly square. The glass you're going to get is perfectly square.
Right.
So deduct an eighth, at least.
At least an eighth. And besides that, you have a lip on the outside, which is going to cover
right.
it anyway.
You'll be fine.
Now, you want to throw, regardless if it's wood or steel, you want to put on the inside of that lip, you want to throw some clear silicone around the whole thing.
Before you push the glass in.
Right. So clear bead of silicone, push it on. Now, you're going to have, with wood, you're going to have points, which are those little
stars
that you push in and clip down.
You put them in with the chisel or whatever, push them down.
Right. With metal, however, you're going to have these clips that are spring.
Mm-hmm.
They're spring-loaded, and there's little holes to pop them, and they push the glass toward the lip and give it a good seal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the key with the glazing. Now, with metal, you got gray glazing, and with wood, you have white glazing.
Mm-hmm.
But never work it out of the can. First of all, it's super oily. There's tons of fish oil and stuff like that in it.
Mm-hmm.
Take it out of the can, knead it all together.
Work it.
Just work it and knead it. It's going to get all over your hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or actually wear some plastic gloves. But even after you knead it, leave it outside for more than a couple of days on some cardboard.
Acclimate. Let it drink up that oil.
Let it suck out the oil. And mm-hmm. then use it, glaze it with your knife, and then you won't get any shrinkage.
Where are you at with the caulking glaze?
Don't like it. Hate it.
I figured you wouldn't.
Doesn't
work.
It
seems so convenient, doesn't it?
But it doesn't work. You can't ply it. You can't really tool it.
Uh-huh.
You can't use your glaze.
Now, once everything is dry, then you can go outside with your razor blade and clean up your clear silicone.
Yes. Just okay. cut, yeah. And then once you place the glazing on and tool it and everything, don't bother cleaning it for at least a couple of days till it forms a skin on it.
Right.
And then you can clean it and paint it.
All right. Oh, wait. Outro, man. Yeah.
Thanks for the tip.
Forgot about that bad boy. All right. Mark, 23, Michigan.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Hey, renting a house. And
yeah!
My back door.
Yeah. Mark, love you.
Yeah. Not proud of it, but it's okay.
At least 23. He's a kid.
Yeah.
Juvenile, baby.
My dog has torn the hell out of my back glass door. She got locked out for about an hour and was scratching at it. I've tried, soap and water to wash it off and then a little Windex. No luck. I have, visible scratches still in the glass. And I was wondering, is there a way to buff that out, or am I looking at replacing the glass?
Yeah, you can buff it out. I've done it.
Wax, right?
No.
You had your guy do it. Who, Gary?
No. There is a, for old, windshields that have, film and scratches and things on them, go to the auto parts store.
But then what about trying some toothpaste first?
Just listen.
I'm just saying.
We're not fucking MacGyver here. We're not trapped on an island.
Oh, you're not.
Go to the auto parts place. Get one of those kits for buffing out the scratches in the windshield, and that should work. It buffs it out. You basically bring it down a couple of microns, and it works pretty well. I was sort of surprised. There's also companies that do that kind of stuff, but. You can just do it yourself. You probably just use a cordless drill with the buffer wheel on there. They give you a couple of different compounds. You start with the gritty stuff. You work your way down to nothing.
So it's not by hand? Couldn't do it by hand?
I can't remember. I think it involves a wheel of some kind. But, Mark, auto parts, windshield, not windshield repair, but how to get the haze or the scratch out of a windshield.
Okay.
All right there, bucko.
Thanks, guys.
Good times.
Thank you.
Yeah, my dog, Molly's back on chemo.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, tell that to my wallet. It's all I ever hear.
¿Cuántos años tienes, Molly?
Let me tell you. I told Lynette, look, for comedy's sake, gather up how much I've spent on that dog in the last 3 years. Gather it up. I gave her has it been 30 grand? She's been all...
I'm going to guess. Do you know, by the way? Do you know?
Oh, listen, first off.
I say it's over 50.
I'll never know because I only said it to Lynette 2 times.
Oh.
So I'd have to go back and revisit it, and then there'd be an argument, and then there'd be something about the kids, and then it's
then there'd be a new dog.
It's not worth it. Yeah. No. Believe me, It's a four-part equation. There's the asking, then there's the, hey, what about, it takes place about 3 or 4 weeks later, and then there's some sort of speech about how hard I work and, if you would just do this stuff, it would make my life easier, and then there's a full-blown argument.
That's the sequence right there?
Usually that's a sequence, and then there's a... part where I eventually I'll just take Matt and put him on it.
So where are you now with this Molly expenditure? A, B, C, or D?
I've just A and B, and then I've let it go. That's part of my growth as a human being. Part of my growth as a human being is recognizing the non-growth in other human beings.
I was waiting.
No, part of it's just going.
Are you aware of being aware now?
Just because you paid 30 grand and you asked doesn't mean you're going to. That does not mean you shall get. That's what
I'm saying. I think, because Molly has had,
she had her ear amputated. She had a lot of cancer stuff.
I'm saying you're about, guesstimate, 50. I'm thinking about 50.
Could be. All right.
What about the
by the way, there's no it's not like Molly and or anyone in the house makes any recognition to the point.
You know, what about calling the family meeting and saying, hey, we're going to euthanize Molly. Let's all go to the doctor and say our goodbyes and kiss and cry together. And then you do the plunger.
No. No.
You can make a family event out of it.
No.
It'd be a bonding thing. They would hate you.
What I need to do is get a homeless person and just take her. And then I just do a thing where, like, a giant hawk came out of the sky and took her, man. It'd be kind of a cool story for the kids. She'll be the hawk's going to be poisoned when he eats Molly, though, because she's all full of chemo. But, that's her.
And you remember when Kitty passed. That was so tough for you.
Oh, my cat. I love my kitty. I love my kitty. That was
only
a good cat.
That cat. And you can't call cats. You guys know that. Kitty could be called, and Kitty would scale a 9-foot-high gate to get to Adam, which was pretty fucking incredible. She'd climb the school fence to come.
It wasn't a gate. It was just a fence.
Fence, yeah.
Just a cyclone fencing. It was just a regular school fence. She'd put her paws through the holes and climb up over it and come over while we're fucking around in the schoolyard.
Pretty incredible.
I just call her from across the street. And then Ray would look at my house and go, why does it look like a barn? And what's wrong with your mom? She's all fat and she doesn't shave her armpits.
And what were you saying? Hold on, I got to write all this down.
You know, Ray, I got to go back and live in there.
When?
Yeah. All right.
Time soon.
Water damage to drywall. Let's see.
Kitty.
Hey, Jerry?
Yes, sir.
36, Buffalo.
Yes, my wife and I bought a house about a year and a half ago, and
that's what you get.
What did we get? We got a 2-story home for us and our 2 kids.
Love that. Aww. American patriot, hero, winner.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we knew when we purchased the house that the roof and the skylights would need to be replaced. So we did that last summer.
Mm-hmm.
There was some resulting water damage that I do now have to fix. The spots are all dried out. This is in the master bathroom right near the new skylight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are 3 separate spots that manifest themselves slightly differently. One is just a general spot. I assume I can just cover that with some oil-based primer paint over it. Should be good.
Mm-hmm.
The second is about a 4-inch diameter circle, looked like a bubble formed and then dried out. That's all flaked over. And the third spot is right in the corner where the ceiling meets the wall. I can actually peel parts of drywall off, and I can see the drywall tape that's a little bit frayed.
Mm-hmm.
That's about a 3 by 3 inch section.
All right. How do we repair drywall?
Wait, but is it still leaking or it's not leaking anymore?
No, we got the roof fixed.
Okay.
All right.
And by the way, keep that skylight open when you're taking a shower and make sure that fan's on so the moisture doesn't accumulate.
You can repair drywall. If it's a small hole, you can do it with those sheet metal patches with the adhesive tape, mesh tape on it. You can do it that way. If you got to do a big piece where you got to cut out a piece and then you got to cut it out, you know, keyhole saw. I don't like the fire up. The saw's all kicks a lot of dust, makes kind of a mess.
Yeah.
Back in the day, we used to cut stuff like half on the stud, but that's hard. I might, if I was doing it today and I had to cut out a chunk, I'd probably cut out a chunk just sort of in the bay against the stud and then just screw on a piece of 1x, sister it on up in there and just for some screwing and some nailing or what have you. The other thing that people, need to realize, if you are doing a half-on situation where you have the studs laid out, you weren't going to cut out a piece of crappy drywall. Something that was taught to me some time ago, which I realized, don't cut out the infected part, then measure it up and cut the piece that you're going to fit in there. Cut the piece first. Put it up, trace around the patch piece, and then cut it out, and you know it'll fit perfectly. So if it's a little bit off-kilter,
or a little out of whack, template.
Use the piece you're going to replace the piece with as your template. Your impulse is, I'm going to cut the hole, then I'm going to measure the hole, then I'm going to make that piece of drywall and replace it, but make the piece first.
Yeah, when you're removing it, you can take out the whole thing and then just trace it. It's a better way to go.
Not when you're removing it. When you're removing it, cut the piece first, hold it up, trace it, then remove it.
And then also, it sounds like he just has, you know, putty knife scrape, let it dry if it's moist at all, and throw some smooth set five and call it a day.
Yeah.
He didn't seem like it. And then the tape, I think if it's a corner, the corners should be taped with paper, not mesh. And if it is mesh, just float it out a little bit, cut it out with a razor, because they're going to just come and haunt you back. And, you know, they're going to come. It's like having a blem hair.
The paper tape is just what it is, just paper. All right, Bill, 23, Colorado.
We sound like
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
I know. We're actually giving advice. Yeah.
I just had a quick question about ducting. So I'm growing some marijuana plants in my spare bedroom. It's immediately next to a bathroom. And I'm wondering about going through the ceiling to run that 6-inch ducting and connecting it to the exhaust from the fan in the bathroom.
Sounds doable.
I'm wondering how feasible that would be and how much work you think might be involved in that.
Wait, your pot's in the basement?
No, it's pot's in the bedroom. Spare bedroom.
Right next to the bathroom.
Right, you got to listen.
Huh?
I know that's your number one go-to joke, but he started off by saying he has a spare bedroom and he's growing pot in it. So,
how many lights are you running?
Just one.
Okay. Good for you, by the way, number one. Number two, there's a fart fan in the bathroom. Does that vent
right
to the outside, or does that just vent up to the attic?
It vents to the outside, through the ceiling.
Okay. Now, are you planning on putting a separate fan
in the room?
In the room, but
yes,
you don't
have a fan
right
that blows blows through the light that will
right
that's going to extinguish
right
it.
But
correct.
You do not want to pierce another hole in the roof.
I don't have a problem with it in the spare bedroom. I mean, I own the condo.
All right, you don't want the man swinging by. Gotcha.
Yeah, that's true.
All right,
so you need to get rid of the heat that's accumulating in there.
Listen,
exactly,
it's just fine.
Exactly.
That's all you need is a T. Can you get up?
Okay.
Do you have a crawl space? Can you get up to the attic up there?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, just get a sheet metal T, and
okay,
come off of that first the bathroom fart fan mm-hmm with a T. Mm-hmm. And have the bottom of the tee facing out toward where you're growing the weed and hook it up to that, and then hook the other one up to that.
To a register. Do you have a register in there?
No, he doesn't need a register. He's already done it. He's doing the fan up top of the pot room. He just wants to know if he can connect it into the bathroom or the room that's next to him.
Right.
Exactly.
But but you could run it across the lid, right, and down into the other room and put a register there so that would suck it out.
He's got it on the lid.
I have a fan that blows the air through there already. So I basically
just
need a place
to tie in. Right. Let him just tee off on the fart fan. You okay with that, Ryan?
All right.
You growing that in the basement?
Yeah, is that a basement grow? How many lights?
All right. So,
just one.
All right. So hold on a second.
I just want to fucking punch you right now.
You got
go
a root
ahead
cellar? What's going on over there? You're putting up preserves in a root cellar? He's teeing off the fart fan.
Yeah,
right.
I got it.
All right. Well, listen.
Huh?
Jesus Christ. You got to listen, right? Oh, good. Melinda's gone. Hold on. Try it again. All right. Melinda, what was her? Who owns her own house? 38. So
way
young
to go.
So young. All right. Let's get Ray home. Shall we, everybody? You can visit aceontheroof.com, click on the PayPal button, and subscribe. You can also click through our Amazon link. You can hit us with a little tweet, Ace on the House. Facebook.com/Ace on the House. Follow Ray at Ray Oldhoffer as well. Oh, by the way, the shop floor I was screaming about last episode, after about 80 gallons of 1 gallon at a time of lacquer thinner. We got all the goo scraped off it and put the new epoxy down and put the clear on it. It looks fantastic. The good news is the paint place gave us the new material we needed at cost. So I saved $111. But you'd have to back out the $4,300 it cost
wait,
me
that
to
labor too. They reimburse.
Well,
oh,
no, that's
whole different issue. That's the killer part, by the way. Fuck the materials. The labor is what gets
it's you. Five dudes going for a week scraping.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Maxima style, baby. Oh, man. They put a smile on my face. All the units. Everywhere. Home. Business. Warehouse. All of it. It's all MaximaStyle.com. Best prices. Best selection. LED bulbs. Look, as I was saying yesterday, Ray, I came home after a long day of working in South Central. Space heater blowing in Natalie's room. I came home about 8 o'clock at night. Everyone was still gone. Catalina enjoying the zip lines. And they had left about 9 that morning. That space heater was on from the night before, and it was on the 13 hours while I was gone. I was pissed. But when an LED bulb is left on, no problema. Does not burn the kilowatts. 1/10 the energy. 20 times as long. That's how long they last. Maxima, this is where we go. This is our sponsor. This is our hookup. Make it your hookup. MaxximaStyle.com. MaxximaStyle.com. Use the coupon code Adam for additional savings. Maxima Style, baby. All right. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Ray Oldhoffer, Matt Porcelain, Punisher, Fondelier, and Gary Haftard saying, mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.